Good morning. It's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Wednesday, April 24th, 2019. We have 15 vessels on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have north winds gusting to 20 knots today. Winds are going to rise to even 25 knots in the afternoon, so it's going to be windy. Wind waves from the north, 4 feet high at 5 seconds apart, and west swells 6 feet high at 11 seconds apart. So we have those local north winds and the westerly swells. They're coming from different directions because they're caused by entirely different things. We happen to have local weather conditions today that are bringing us north winds, but those westerly swells are coming from way across the Pacific Ocean, in some cases generated by weather that could be happening as far away as Japan. And all that energy from the wind and the weather gets transferred into the ocean in the form of waves. And those swells, as they're called, move across the ocean all the way to the west coast of the United States. So it's interesting to note how all these forces are acting out there on the water. And mariners, the marine weather forecast is kind of the sort of the manifestation, the explanation of what you might expect when you go out there if you are a mariner. And today we're going to be talking about the fact that in May 7th, The two tall ships, Lady Washington and Hawaiian Chieftain, are going to be at the Port of Ilwaco, Washington. It's always a fun time when they come into town. But for me, as a ship nerd, they represent something even more fascinating, which is that they were the big cargo ships that you see sitting out there at anchor. Well, before those ships came into being and evolved from what was called the general cargo ship, it was ships like the Lady Washington and Hawaiian Chieftain that carried cargo all around the world. So imagine spending 3 years on board a vessel that was less than 100 feet long. So at any rate, we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first, let's take a look at our Columbia River ship schedule for the day. Two inbounders, seven in our Astoria anchorages, and six outbounders heading downriver and out to sea. Our first arrival in the river this morning, or today rather, is the Barrow Island. She actually won't be here until about 6:30 p.m., no inbound traffic until then, unless something changes. Things are always evolving on the ship schedule. She's arriving from South Korea, headed for the Vancouver anchorage, and she could be picking up some kind of biodiesel or petroleum up in the I think she might be a tanker. And she will probably arrive in the Vancouver area at the anchorage there around midnight. The Summer Sky is arriving from China. She's headed for the Astoria anchorage. She's going to ultimately be picking up potash at the port of Portland. But she'll pass Astoria around midnight, and maybe 12:30 or so she'll go. She'll end up in the anchorage and then wait there until she has reason to go upriver to pick up cargo. The Nord, in our Astoria anchorage off the downtown waterfront, the Nord Pluto is heading to up to Vancouver to pick up wheat at about 11 o'clock this evening. And in the ships that are awaiting orders, we have the Momo Glory, the Bali, and the BLC First that are awaiting orders off the waterfront in Astoria. And then a little bit upriver from Astoria at that Rice Island anchorage, which is actually on the Washington side of the river, a little past Tongue Point on the north side of the channel, the Scythia Graeca, the BTG Rainier, and the Star Amber are there. And our outbounders, the GH Power is heading out of Longview with wheat at about 10 o'clock. 3.5 hours or so later, you will see her past Astoria if she leaves at that time. So these are estimates. These kinds of ships are not like cruise ships that leave at a certain time or like buses or trains that are on a schedule for passengers. These ships leave when they're done with their business at the dock. And they have an estimate because the pilots have to know when to be on board and all that. But it's just a different realm where the workload and other requirements dictate how long a ship is at the dock. The Ipsy Colossus is heading out of Vancouver's anchorage. I think she has wheat on board, leaving around 10:30 a.m. That would put her past Astoria maybe around 4:30 p.m. The Island Spirit is leaving the Weyerhaeuser log docks in Longview at about 2:30 p.m. Logs on board there. The USNS Henry J. Kaiser is a military sealift command vessel that's at the shipyard at Swan Island. So you'll see a battleship gray vessel. These military sealift command vessels are staffed by civilians, but they look like regular military vessels. The way you can tell the difference between a military sealift command vessel by looking at it from an active duty military ship is that it has that acronym USNS, which designates that it is not an active duty vessel, but a military sealift command vessel. The USS if it was the USS Henry Kaiser, it would be an active duty military vessel. So just a little bit of trivia there if you see her going by. The African Loon is leaving Portland with soda ash on board from the Port of Portland around 7:30 tonight. That would put her past Astoria maybe around 1:30 a.m. tomorrow. And the Belle Ocean is heading out of Calama around 11 o'clock this evening with weed on board, probably passing Astoria around 5 a.m. Well, fun things are coming to the port of Ilwaco. The Pacific Northwest tall ships Lady Washington and Hawaiian Chieftain will be at the port of Ilwaco from May 7th through the 15th. They'll offer educational programs at for local schools, vessel tours, and sailing trips. Both of these vessels are celebrating their, I believe it's 30th birthdays, and are owned by the nonprofit Grays Harbor Historical Seaport, which is based in Aberdeen. Both of these tall ships are replicas of earlier types of vessels that show how general cargo ships once were. Now, the Hawaiian Chieftain is apparently a replica of a ship that used to take cargo between the Hawaiian Islands. But the Lady Washington is a replica of the first American ship to make landfall on the west coast of the U.S. She was built in 1989 in Aberdeen to commemorate the Washington State Centennial. But she must have, the original ship, must have gone around Cape Horn and through Drake Passage or the Strait of Magellan. Terribly turbulent waters, difficult for a vessel that is less than 100 feet long. So long voyages were taken on these vessels. And if you go see the Lady Washington, she's just a delight to look at. But she's also just not very big, shorter than the ships that are at the Maritime Museum, medium endurance cutters that the Coast Guard has are about 214 feet long, shorter than that. Now, there were larger cargo ships that carried cargo around the world, among them the clipper ships, which were generally about 225 to 300 something feet long. But still, if you consider that people went to sea for years on those vessels, and so sailors would go away to sea and their families would have no contact with them. They would have no idea whether their loved one was lost at sea, and sometimes people were and they never heard. So tremendously different from the sailing today. Today people go out, they do go out and they'll be gone from home for months, but not for years and not on such a small vessel. So if you do take a tour of the Lady Washington, just imagine what it would have been like for you to be a crew member and live and work for a long extended period of time at sea. Well, perhaps with people you didn't know very well when you first started, it would be a really different lifestyle from what most of us are used to. Now, the Lady Washington replica is famous for having been in a couple movies like Pirates of the Caribbean and Star Trek Generations, and it's also been in some other shows. So she's perhaps got a little bit higher profile than the Hawaiian Chieftain and people recognizing her. But they're both very interesting vessels that are kind of symbols of a bygone way of doing things. And they have volunteers on board who learn to sail the tall ships. And this is an interesting exercise in teamwork because it's not a single-handed vessel, as they call it, where one person cannot sail a tall ship. It requires a coordinated bunch of people working together. So it's a great exercise in teamwork and learning to rely on one another. So lots of great things. You can find more about both of these ships online at historicalseaport.org. You can get tickets there for sailing excursions when she's here in Ilwaco, along with the Hawaiian. Both of them will be here in Ilwaco, May 7th through the 15th. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.